Well, praise the Lord.
Anybody have any questions from the message this morning? We're going to be in Deuteronomy 32, by the way. The thought there, a couple discussions afterwards on that's good. Amen. The reality, the teaching of Scripture that God owns everything and we are just stewards of what we have been given. Amen. That doesn't take away from the fact that we have a responsibility to work and to, put forth what God has given us to do, right? We have a responsibility, but we're not owners. We're just stewards. Does that make sense? And it's a wonderful teaching of Scripture. What does that teaching do for us? Yes, Luke.
I think it gives direction and purpose.
It does. Yeah. It should cause us to love God. Amen. I mean, He has given us so much and truly has set us up to succeed. Think about these people study all these things about the earth, and it's like, man, it's just amazing how everything just perfectly fit for life. Oh, wow, it's almost like there's God designed it that way. Yeah, it's really neat. Yes, Kyle.
It gives you a sense of responsibility, because if it's mine, I can do whatever I want with it, but if it's God's, I need to do right and take care of it.
Right. A kid mentality is, he don't care if he breaks that toy. Most kids are very destructive. You know what parents do when a kid breaks the toy? They just buy him a new one. No, you're not teaching them how to be responsible by doing that. No. So they need to realize that's not theirs to break. Because like Kyle said, we have a responsibility because it's not ours. That's true of our own bodies, isn't it? It's not mine to break. It's just, that's a great point. I love that. That's a good thought. Yes?
I think it also kind of brings me back to, I think that message you preached, I think it's very, very applicable to every area of our lives, is that when we lose something, remember preaching about losing things?
Blessings through loss, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess in a sense it helps me also to have faith in God, because it's like, whatever the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So, I mean, if I need it, He's my Father.
The Lord giveth and the Lord
He'll give it to
taketh away.
You know, so.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, yeah. Yeah, learning the blessing of loss. There's some things we need to lose. Some friends we don't need. We need to lose them. Say, how do you need, I don't care. We just need to lose them. Amen? Some people can't handle money. They need to lose it. So what? Right? What happens if a drug addict has a bunch of money? They get themselves in a lot more trouble, don't they? So some people don't need money. Some people don't need to be driving a car. My 15-year-old, I got to hurry up and get them their permit so they can drive when they're 16. You're crazy. You're crazy. Not one of our kids drove when they were 16. Say, what? They're legally were allowed. No, they weren't, because their parents said no. Amen. And they had plenty of others in the family to drive them around, amen. Because in reality, it's a big responsibility, isn't it? Here's 16-year-old that can't even keep your room clean. You don't even know how to brush your teeth without being told. Here's a car. Be safe. What? Are you kidding me? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you're going to go down the highway in a couple-ton vehicle. Yeah, be safe. Yes.
Another thing is, if the parents just give the 15-year-old the car, that child does not even realize the value of money, because he didn't purchase the car to begin with. So he's not going to take it as, he's not going to take care of the car.
No way. Yeah.
Slowly gives a believer more and more things to handle, and nothing matures somebody like responsibility.
Yeah, you start giving responsibility early, see how they handle it, work up to it. Just work up to it. And don't be afraid to pull it back, because you love them. If you don't love them, yeah, put them in that couple thousand pound vehicle. There you go, buddy. Man, but if you love them, that's ridiculous. They're not gonna like me. Well, dead, not like me. I don't know. You choose. Amen. I don't want to restrict my kid. I know they're running towards the road and there's traffic there, but man, I don't want to tell them no. It's going to hurt their psyche. Tell them no. Amen. Anyway, fun. It's not fun. Because they're not ours, they're God's. My kids aren't mine, they're God's. So, yes.
It's like, you know, in my relationship with firearms and everything, I want my sons to learn how to handle a firearm and shoot one, but yeah,
they're probably not ready yet.
There's no way I'm going to let them touch me.
Krishan is like,
there's no way. It is like I heard a preacher say one time, just teaching, like, wanted to teach his son how to bow hunt with him and everything, and he said, I would never give him broadheads, though, at that age. He starts out with the, you know, just the little round points, you know, and it's same with us with God. He doesn't give it.
Like, God does test us. Yeah. He tests us to see how we do with what he gives us. And if we're not faithful with it, he's not going to, like, keep pouring it on. No, he's pulling back, right? We have to be faithful in the little things. He that is faithful in that which is least shall also be faithful in that which is much. So this is a biblical principle. So again, I love that what was given in parable today, the whole principle of we're not owners, we're stewards. And the test of that is, what did you bring with you into this world? Nothing. What do you take out of this world? Nothing. Okay, then whatever you gain in between, it's not really yours. It's someone has invested that in you and it's staying, right? It's not yours. We can lay up treasure in heaven. That's good. We can do that. That's something you can keep. But the stuff on earth stays. So that keeps, it really helps a right perspective, you know? And anyway, just, yes.
I had a claim recently. It was an older guy, but the house was in his son's name. And they were trying to, I didn't really care here, but they were trying to tell me why it was the way it was. Like, and the dad said, like, I mean, he was an older guy, probably 60, 70 or something. He said, I can't own anything right now. He's like, can't own anything. I was like, that's okay. And, you know, and I think we often need to remind the world of this, because I realized when I said it that there was like light bulbs going off in their head. I said, yeah, I mean, it's like they say, you never see a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. You know, you're not taking anything with you anyway. So, yeah, it was interesting. He was saying, yeah, I can't own anything right now. I'm like, oh, big deal. You're not taking it with you anyway. So.
Just a little note on wealth. Most rich people don't own much. If you own it, you have to pay taxes for it. They don't own it, but they figure out ways to have access, and they use things. But they don't. You don't want to own everything. You just want to be able to use things. So I don't understand that. Well, yes.
Reference what Luke said. It reminded me of, I was in a funeral home one time and I overheard some people talking, and somebody asked the other person. They said, "Well, how much did he leave behind?" The other guy said, he left it all.
Every bit of it. He left every bit of it. And that troubles some people. It troubled Solomon. All right. We're in Deuteronomy 32. And I was just kind of thinking through, meditating on this thought, and kind of developed a message from it. But the first part of this message is the importance of truth and why truth is important. Second part of the message, if we get there, is on what happens when we don't side with truth and we build up a life that's not based on truth. And God gives us a lot of input on this, and there's so much here. But anyway, I'm going to start Deuteronomy 32, verse number 1. It says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Listen to this. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and it says, without iniquity, just and right is he." It's a really beautiful portion of scripture. It talks about
how that truth, his word, right, his doctrine drops down and how needed it is for rain, right? That water of the word, it's likened unto there. And how we need to be able to receive that early and latter rain, right? Because that's how we grow. That's how we are nourished. That's how things grow. That's how everything operates in this water cycle. That's why scientific community is constantly looking for planets and all that can have liquid water. And let me just say, amongst the however many there are out there, very, very few even have the possibility of having liquid, amen, water. And so needed for life. And God just shows it here, the importance of his speech. Look at verse 2, says, my doctrine, says my speech. And it's talking about it coming down and watering and the dew coming up, distilling, losing just that any of the heavy metals, not just coming up as pure water. The showers there that the grass needs, the herb needs, all of this. And what he's talking about here is the perfectness of his truth. And the same is true for you and I as believers. We need his truth like plants need water. Like everything in life that needs water to grow, that's what grows the believer. That's what enables us to be strong. That's what enables us to have fruit and bear fruit and have a healthy, proper life. It is water, and that water is the word of God. Amen. Let's pray here, then we'll get into it. God, thank you for today. Thank you, God, for your word. I don't believe any of us actually view your word as properly as we should, as important as we should. And I know I love your word. I highly respect your word. But I don't think I fully comprehend, Lord, how important your word is to the life of your people. But God, I want to know. I want to know more and more the reality and the truth of the ramifications of truth in my life, and then the opposite when it's not. God, teach us tonight. Show us these things from your word. Help us, God, to gain a greater appreciation and desire for truth tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beautiful passages of scripture we'll look at tonight, just in reference to the importance of truth in our life. I said it before, what's cheaper? Is gasoline cheaper or water? Water, good job. Water's cheaper right now. It might turn, who knows? So why don't you just put water in your gas tank? It doesn't work. Water to the vehicle is like error to a believer, right? We operate on truth, God's truth. That's what God has given us to operate on. And when we try to throw falsities, error in our tank, then it has a bad set of actions that take place, and it hurts us, right? And that's what we see here in these scriptures. So truth is what God has given to us that enables us to operate and navigate in this dangerous world that we live. It's dangerous just based on the physical things of this life. There's a lot of things out there that can really harm you. But can I say it's also dangerous because of the spiritual things that exist all around us that want to harm us. We need God's truth. That is what God has given to open our eyes and to lead us in that path that we should go. So I'm going to read a passage of Proverbs 23. You can look over at John 8. Proverbs 23 says this, buy the truth, sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We should want the truth so much that we're willing to buy it. Amen? I know everybody always gets upset, you know, because they have to buy a new Bible and all that. A decent Bible's, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 bucks, 100 bucks, 120 bucks. Might spend a little more on that. Thinking, what? I don't want to spend that much money on it. I can go to the dollar store and get me one for a buck. Go ahead. I've used those before, but I like having a little bit nicer one. Amen? One that's put together well and that I can actually read well. The text is a little bigger. I trust the text there that's printed. It's okay to spend a little bit of money on a Bible. We were talking earlier today about Bible study tools and all that. I was mentioning the Webster's 1828 Dictionary in Sunday school and the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary.
And last I checked for the OED, it's somewhere around, if you want to get a set of those, about $500. That's like, whoa, that is a lot. It is. It is. And I have never been compelled to get that or a subscription to the OED. But I did buy an 1828 first edition. You know, it's a replica of it. And Nancy was saying that she did. They run about $55 for a dictionary. But it's a really, really good resource. Now, you can get it on eSword. It's free, but it's electronic. I kind of like having both. I typically use electronic, but I do like pulling books off my shelves and going by those sometimes. But it's okay to buy some tools that will help you to be able to study. If you don't have a good computer and you want to be able to study, I think in the day that we live, it's a beautiful tool, a computer to be able to study with. But you need a good one, amen? And just a couple years back, I bought a nice Surface that I use for my studies so I can link my computers. They mirror from here and wherever I'm at. And I need that. I need good tools to study with. And I don't even remember what it cost, but it wasn't cheap. But we need these things, right? Why? Because we want access to the truth. We want to study that truth. We want to be able to dig into that truth. And people spend a lot of money on a lot of things that mean nothing. Amen? It does us good when we have to spend a little bit, amen, for something that is going to help us. It's good for us. Amen? It's good. And I know we come to church and we pass the plates, different things, but no one's like saying, hey, entrance fee, $20. I mean, we're not doing nothing like that, amen? But the reality is that what you get in a place like this is worth paying for. Amen? It's worth it. And so we need that mentality, because the truth that you'll get from somebody else, whether it's me or someone else that's standing in front of you teaching a class or preaching, whatever, they put forth effort. They prayed and they talked to God, and God has given them something to deliver. And I'm not saying you need to pay them for that, not at all. All I'm saying is it's worth something, amen? It's worth something. Why? It's the truth, amen? And it's important. Even like just a few minutes ago, just sitting around talking through a little bit about the message from earlier today, man, that is rich, amen? That is rich to kind of get the take from different ones on something like that. Powerful things that you miss if you're not here. We need this encouragement. We need this type of thing, this activity centered around the truth. Amen. John 8, verse number 32. Watch this. And we oftentimes read verse 32, but we don't go on. We're going to go on through 36 this time. It says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from what? What's the truth make you free from? Yeah. Sin, error. What else? What's it make you free from? Was it? Delusion. I was thinking deception. That's excellent. Free from delusion, like getting in a state of mind that's just not based on truth, right? You're delusional, right? You're living in a false reality. The truth will set you free from that. It'll set you free from? Set you free from ignorance. That's good. Yes. It sets you free from lie, which goes back to deception, because if you don't know the truth, people can lie to you and you don't know if what they're saying is right or not, right? So it sets you free from being deceived, sets you free from lies. It can set you free from worry, right? Not just anything can happen, right? So how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells me that, right? And so I can be set free from, not, I don't have to worry about things, certain things now, right? So the Bible is a book of freedom. It gives to us, this truth gives to us the right way to go, the path that's sure and steadfast, so that I don't have to experience all this garbage that's out there. That's what the truth does. Amen? And so we should know it. And if you know it, it will make you free. Amen? Look at verse 33. They answered him. Now, they got the Pharisees there, and they didn't like that, because the insinuation there is, well, you don't know the truth. So this is what they say. And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How say thou, ye shall be made free?" You see what's happening here? They took offense to this. They took offense to it because They lived in this delusion that they had the truth, but they didn't. They didn't because they wouldn't allow themselves to be proved in that truth. They became the source of truth. And by the way, that's the day we live today. Every person thinks that they know what's right, right? Then you ask, based on what? Well, I just believe it to be right. Based on what? I don't know. I just believe it to be right. Well, then you're in trouble because you have no real source of truth, right? That's, we prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We don't trust us, amen? And that's safe. We should not trust our opinion. We should not trust what we think. If any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know, the Bible says. So we want to be very careful with these things. So the Pharisees, they said, what? We're not in bondage. We were never in bondage. What do you mean be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, meaning you're in bondage. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. In other words, the servant of sin, it's not going to last forever. You're going to die. You're going to die in your sins, right? Then he says, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He says, you all think you're free, but you're not. You're servants to sin. But the Son is free, and if you'll receive this message, you can be a part of the Son, and then you will abide forever. Anyway, just amazing stuff there, but again, it's all by the truth. 2 Corinthians 13:8 says, and it says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Now, this is Paul. He's speaking to the church there at Corinth. And he's just saying that we do not do things against the truth. And there's a couple thoughts to this text, but I really believe what this is referring to is, we'll see another passage close to this. And I believe what it's talking about here is this, is that to be for something, and that's what this word means, it means to be on its side, if you will. You're in that direction. You're for it, right? If we have this presidential thing, you know, all this stuff going on, all that, you'll pick a candidate. And you'll say, I'm for that candidate, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Wherever you might say, I'm done with the whole thing. I'm not for anybody. I don't know. Nonetheless, if you pick a candidate, you would say, I'm for them, meaning I'm on their side. I support them, right? That's what this word means here. We can do nothing against the truth. Why would Paul say that they can do nothing against the truth? Because they've decided not to do anything against the truth. To do something against the truth would be to do something opposed to the truth, which means that they would live in error and support error, support lies. And Paul has said we can do nothing against the truth. And by the way, that would be good for all of us to have that where we would just say, no more. I, in my life, I'm not going to do anything against the truth. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, if you say this, if you say, I love God, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, I keep doing stupid stuff, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to do what I know is right. I'm not going to live in that gray area anymore. That's what Paul's saying here. I'm going to side with truth, even, as we'll see a passage says, even to my own hurt. Sometimes it looks like it hurts us to do right. Right? Sometimes people kind of make life hard on us because we're trying to do right. Sometimes we'll lose a job because, no, I'm not going to lie for you. I've heard a story like this over the last year a couple times where someone will be like just giving us an illustration by story and saying, you know, you have a boss and the boss says, tell him I'm not here. But you are. What do you do? That's a decision you got to make. Hang on a minute. I'm not going to lie for you. You got to make that choice. You got to know where those lines are, right? And we want to make sure that we are people of truth, amen. And that's what Paul's saying here. So nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Look over at James 3. James 3. I guess in that scenario, you could say, I'm sorry, he's not available to talk to you right now. There's something you could say, but you don't want to be a liar. You don't want to lie for somebody. You don't want to get in the habit of lying for people. Amen? Say, but the job pays good. Eh. If you can do it, good for you. Bad for you. Not good for you. James 3. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? This would be a guy that we can test, we can look at, we can prove. Who is a wise man? Who is wise and who has true knowledge, right? Let him. This is how that person should operate. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. What it's saying here is this. If you have the truth, if you're endued with wisdom and knowledge from on high, then let that person show that in their life. That should be observable. Does that make sense? But then it says this. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This is an interesting. Lie not against the truth. Now, that lie not is an interesting thing, but you could say, well, lie there being close to, but the word really is meaning telling a falsity. Lie not against the truth. So, if you happen to be in such a case that you've become bitter or you envy somebody or you have strife in your heart, don't glory over those things, right? We don't glory over that. That's not good. And he says, while that's going on, lie not against the truth. In other words, don't become a liar. Don't take something you know to be true and go against it now because you're bitter or you're envious or you have strife in your heart. Don't do it. And that goes back to what Paul said there in our text in 2 Corinthians. I can do nothing against the truth. We have to put that boundary in our lives that I'm not going to go against what I know is right. If you know it's right, don't let yourself go against that. Why? We're going to see the costs are too high. The costs are too high for that to happen. Look at verse number 15 of our text. This wisdom descendeth not from above. What wisdom? The wisdom that says I can lie against the truth. The wisdom that says, it's okay if I do something I know is wrong. Does that make sense? This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. So where envy and strife is, there's confusion. So if we know this to be true, and we've allowed ourselves to become bitter, if we've allowed ourselves to be envious, if we've allowed ourselves to have strife, then we better have beforehand already established a truth in us, a boundary in us, that we are not going to go against the truth. That's just like when we teach young people that if you're a young person and you're going to go through your teenage years and you're going to stay pure, that's not just, yes, physically pure, but mentally pure. If you're going to stay pure, you got to set some boundaries now. Now, before you're in a situation. Because if you think, well, once I get in that situation, I'll just know what to do. No, that's too late. Okay? We don't just wait. So before we get in those situations, we set some boundaries in our lives. And that's what this is saying. Saying, you need to set some boundaries that if and when you get bitter towards somebody, you have to set a boundary now to say, even in that, I need to get that right, but in that, I am not going to go against the truth. All right? I'm not. You need to set those boundaries. And that's what it's saying here. Why? Because there's confusion in that time, in every evil work, and we don't want to go that way. That's where error leads. That's where bitterness leads. This is where these things lead, and we don't want to go there. Watch this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable. But listen to these things. Pure. That word just sounds good, amen? Pure. I like things that are pure. If I'm drinking water, I prefer the pure type, amen? If I'm eating something, I'd like for it to be, you know, pure and not mixed with a bunch of garbage, amen? Pure stuff. I like pure. Peaceable. I like peace. I like a home with peace. I don't like chaos. Amen? And so I've tried to create that. I like our home to be a refuge. Nobody in our home has right to disrupt that. Amen? If someone does, I disrupt their peace. Amen? Amen? Why? Because our peace. We need peace. We're Christians. We operate in peace. Christians do not do well operating in chaos. We're not meant to, right? Think of these words. The wisdom from above is pure. Oh, pure. I like it. Peaceable. Whew. I like peace. Calmness. Amen? It says in this same text, gentle. Gentle's good. Amen? Deal with things not roughly, not harshly. By the way, how strong is God? Pretty strong, right? If God, in his correction of us, if he wanted to hurt us, could he? Could he disable us? Could he maim us? Yeah. Aren't you glad as God deals with us in our times of whatever, that he's stern. We always know where he stands, but he's also gentle. That is something that only comes from God, where you could be firm, you could be confident, you could be be just the perfect father in these ways and be gentle at the same time. That's tremendous, amen? But God's wisdom is that, it's gentle. Amen. I love it. And then it goes on to say this, easy to be entreated, approachable. We're not blocking people out. Don't ask that question. I can be talked to about this. Full of mercy. Mercy's good. I like mercy. Amen. You like mercy too when you need it. Amen. And then it says, and good fruits. The fruit of God's truth is good. It has good fruit to it. Without partiality, it works for all. Without hypocrisy. You don't have to be two-faced when you just side with God's truth. You don't got to live this life here around these people and this life here on these. No, you're just the same. You're just operating in truth. Amen. It's not a show. It's a sincerity. It's who we are. We're operating by truth. This is the life that God has for you and I as believers. Amen. And this is what truth will produce in us. Watch verse 18. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Reconciliation, right? Truth makes peace, right? Lies makes a complicated situation. It complicates everything, right? But truth, it actually brings about peace. Amen? Awesome passage. Look at Joshua 24. God tells us throughout the scriptures the importance of truth in our lives. We want to think that we can add error to our life and it'll be okay. We like to think that it's okay that we go against the truth because it's convenient or because it's needful right now or because, you know, I'm not perfect. We like to think that we can do that. But the scriptures teach us that when we allow error to enter in, it causes bad things in our lives. But if we'll just stay in line with the truth, that truth will make us these things. It develops in us the things that we need to be. Amen? And none of us are where we need to be in any area of life. But the more that we just study the truth, learn the truth, know the truth, then that truth is constantly working on us to make us who we need to be. And that's a blessing. Amen. Joshua 24, verse number 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You're going to serve truth, God, or you're going to serve error, the devil. You got to make that choice, right? We don't want to be one foot in one side, one foot in the other. You can't be double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, right? And it goes on to say this, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, this is what Joshua said. I love this verse. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that. Amen. We're just going to do it. We're just going to serve the Lord. This is a non-negotiable. We're not going to have like a family meeting and say, okay, what do you think, family? Should we serve the Lord another year? No. We've already made that. Dad's already decided. No, in this house, we're serving the Lord. Amen? And then when someone rises up in the house and tries to challenge that, it's not negotiable. No, we've already decided. The decision's already made. You can fight against it if you want, but it's just going to be hard on you, right? Because we're going to serve the Lord. This is what we're going to do, right? That's what truth does for you. It develops a set of boundaries and confidence that these are things that are already decided. They don't need rehashed, right? The truth is already laid down like a foundation, and we're just going to keep on moving this way and letting God build other things now on this truthful foundation. In 1 Samuel 12, it says this in verse 24. It says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Amen? If we just consider the Lord, the works of his hands, what he accomplishes, what he has accomplished, will accomplish, it's a no-brainer to side with the truth. Psalm 34:4 says, the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Aren't you glad we serve a God that operates in truth? Amen. Look at Psalm 85. If you are a person that is not sided with the truth, then when you tell somebody something, they don't know if they can trust you or not. Amen? This just a thought on this just popped in my head. Early on, Dana and I decided we weren't going to lie to our kids about Santa Claus, about Easter Bunny, about all these things. And matter of fact, early on, we had some kids in for Sunday school there from town and all that. And I can't remember who the teacher was. And around Christmas time, and they let the cat out of the bag that Santa Claus wasn't real in class and all that. This kid went home crying to their parents, and their parents called and was all mad. And it's like, we just don't lie to our kids. We believe in truth, and that's a lie. I'm sorry. If you want to lie to your kids, then keep them home. I don't know what else to do. Amen. But you're not going to make, I'm not going to feel bad because a teacher told the truth. But even in the little things, we need to be honest with people, don't we? And we start, it's a really, really supposed cute thing, you know. Kid loses a tooth and you put it under their pillow, and while they're sleeping, you sneak in there and take it and put a quarter or something. It's probably more than that now. I don't know what it is. Amen. Inflation. Might be a $5 bill. I don't know. And then the kid, oh, look what the tooth fairy brought you. Number one, I don't want any fairies in my house. Amen. Amen. No fairies allowed. And then number two, what does that do to a kid? What's that do? You just lied to him, didn't you? You, parent, just lied to your kid. Are you okay with that? Because you have to decide whether you're going to lie or not to people around you. Yes? It doesn't stir their imagination. I guess they could be sitting there thinking, I don't know that I like the fact that some fairy just came in my room tonight and replaced this tooth.
I'd rather have my tooth than a quarter. I don't know. I don't know what it can do in a kid's mind. I have no idea. But all I know is this, is that we need to be people of truth. We need to be very careful with these little cutesy things that seemingly are you know, just socially accepted. We want to be careful with this and not be harsh and whatever. I don't make a big deal about these things, but I know as for me and my house, we've decided that we're just not going to lie like that. Amen? And I think that all Christians should side with the truth. Amen? And prove things out and do what's right and be consistent. There's days that I really don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like, you know, answering another phone call or another text from somebody that needs help. There are times my phone is seemingly, I don't get anything else done because it's just answer this, and that's fine. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that all of us have life like that. But here's what I want my kids to see. A dad that actually practices what he preaches, that faithfulness to God's thing is a non-negotiable. Why? It's truth. The Bible says it. Amen? And so we've decided. We're just going to live by it. And sometimes it's hard. I don't feel like it. Amen? But it's already been decided. Do you see what I'm saying? That's how important truth is. Because we affect people by how we operate in what we claim to be truthful. Right? And it's hard to tell somebody what's something that's right when you're not even doing it. In Romans 2, that's what it tells us, right? That before we start being a teacher, we need to first learn that truth and practice it before we start telling others they need to follow that too. It's not do as I say, not as I do doesn't work. Amen? And so if we want others to really believe this book we're preaching, then you got to first believe it. And the way you show others you believe it is it becomes a non-negotiable. I just follow it. Does that make sense? And that has to be, this is how it, can I even say, you can't even claim you really believe it if you're not following it. Does that make sense? That's what this is saying. And truth is so important. Look at Psalm 85, verse number 8. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I will hear. I make that decision. I will hear. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. And surely it says his salvation is nigh them that fear him. That glory may dwell in our land. That glory may dwell. Surely his salvation is nigh them. Well, what is salvation? Salvation is deliverance. Yes, in reference to our condition as a sinner, but it's so much more than that. It's deliverance from sin. It's deliverance from the evildoer. It's deliverance from life. And what happens when we operate in truth? We experience salvation continually. And it says this, that glory may dwell in your land. Do you want glory to dwell in your land? The splendor of God, the Shekinah, the glory of God, just the presence. Do you want that to be what your land is all about, where you live? Then you need to hear what God will speak. Amen? And let him speak peace in your life. Verse 10 says, mercy and truth are met together. That's interesting. Do you want mercy in your life? Do you want God to be merciful to you? Then you have to embrace his truth. Mercy is found housed within his truth. All these people are saying, I can't believe that God let this happen. And who are you? When did you get saved? What church you go to? What's your life like? I don't got time for church. I've been out partying Friday and Saturday night, man. I got to get ready for work. You don't have any time for God. Oh, and you want mercy. Doesn't work that way.
Because mercy is housed in truth, not outside of it. We don't live lies and then say, God, mercy, please, mercy. Doesn't work that way, you see. So this is why mercy, this is why truth is so important. All these things are connected to it. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Oh, so you mean to tell me if I want peace, I have to live in righteousness, which I learned about by the truth? Oh, there's no peace outside the truth and right. That's right. There's chaos and drama outside of righteousness. You see what I'm saying? And so do you see where truth now becomes very important? Because now, if I really want mercy and I really want peace, then I need to embrace the truth, which brings about righteousness in my life, because that's where those things come from. Is that amazing? This is why truth is so important. People say, I can serve God. I don't have to go to church. I got to read my Bible. I don't have to do all that stuff. Me and God, we got this relationship worked out. You're a liar. No, you don't. Yes, you do have to go to church to be right with God. Say, where do you get that? Forsaking not the assembling of yourself together. You can't go against the truth and say you're right with God. Doesn't even make sense, you see. And so this is where people are at today. People are so confused out there based on air being preached from the pulpit and from just in general that they believe they could be right with God while living in air. What? That doesn't even make sense, you see. Truth is vital. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I love this. Psalm 91, verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, watch this, in whom I trust. What about God do you trust? How do you know anything about God? It's by His Word. What about God we trust? We can answer that by saying, well, it's His Word. It's what He says to us, what He's told us, right? How, this secret place, the refuge and the fortress, I'll submit to you based on this text, which we'll read on. I believe those are all found in His truth. All right? The secret place of God, the refuge He invites us to when we're in trouble, when we're running. The refuge. All of these are all housed within His truth. If we reject His truth, then those things are not available to us. His secret place is not available. His refuge is not available. His fortress is not available to us. Look at verse number 3. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Deliver us how? He will deliver us by His truth. If I want to be delivered from the snare, the trap of the fowler, which is the enemy, the devil, if I want to be delivered, I have to listen to the truth, because it's the truth that tells me where those traps are. You see, so now we find the truth is the means by which I can escape the traps of the enemy. It says in verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers. That means He's going to kind of cloak you a little bit from the enemy. Amen. You're covered with His feathers. Amen. So when the enemy looks at you, they just see God, and they're going to leave Him alone. And under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His shield and buckler is the truth. By the way, the armor of God, the shield of faith. Faith in what? Faith in His Word. It all goes back to His Word. It all goes back to His truth. And so if you want to be hid from the enemy, you have to know the truth. We find out how to get under His feathers by the truth. We find out how to get under His wing to be shaded from the enemy by His truth. We find out how to have a shield to block the fiery darts of the enemy. We find that out. How do we get that shield? By faith in his truth. Look at verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Why? Man, I'm dwelling under his feathers. Amen. I'm tucked up under the wing of God. I don't have to be afraid, for God is with me. Amen. And I with him. Nor the arrows that fly by day. I'm protected by those arrows, those darts, by the shield of faith. Nor by the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. If we don't embrace the truth, none of that is true for us. But if we'll embrace the truth, it's all available then to us. You see how important the truth is? Just a couple of verses we finish. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth, I love this, to all generations. That's why we can study the Bible. We can study how God operated back with Adam and Eve, and then with Noah, and with Israel, Moses, all those, and the prophets. We can look at all these times, and we can look at all these different things in the Bible, and we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he operated with them, he will operate with us. And we can trust him. We can trust his truth. It endures. Lastly, look over at Psalm 145. Psalm 145. We'll close with this passage, I believe. I didn't think we'd get to what the scripture reveals to us will happen if we go against the truth. There's a lot there. That's going to be a message in itself, it looks like. Amen. Psalm 145, verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all them that call upon him in truth. He's close to them. The Lord is close. He will fulfill, watch this, the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry. Do you want God to hear your cry? Do you want God to be there to deal with the desires of your heart, all these things? Do you want that close relationship with God? Then that relationship needs to be built upon the truth. Not a lie. What relationship in life works when it's built on a lie? None. None. Even in our physical relationships, if it's built on falsities and error and manipulation and people trying to move people to do things that are against truth and all that, if that's what a relationship is built on, it's really short-lived. And usually filled with destruction along the way and hurt. The relationship God desires to have with us isn't based on those things. It's based on truth. Sincerity and truth. But if you'll come to God in truth and side with truth and build boundaries in your life based on truth, and you'll make it a non-negotiable and stop making excuses and constantly going out in error, if you'll do that and live based on all these promises are true. All of this is true. God will bring it to pass in your life. I want to finish this text. Verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but the wicked will he destroy. So who's the wicked? Those that build their life outside of truth. Truth needs to be a non-negotiable in our life. It needs to be not, you know, well for convenience sake or well for, it's no. We need to buy that truth, sell it not, and let it be a bulwark in our life. And if we'll do that, then all the promises of that truth and that close relationship with God will be realized. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Lord, help us, Lord, to gain a greater appreciation for the truth. in the day when everybody's reasoning through this and reasoning through that, and oftentimes reasoning right outside the realm of truth, Lord, we find ourselves in a mess in a lot of places and a lot of potential opportunity that's thrown away because we don't side with truth. God, help us tonight to gain a love and appreciation for the truth that you've given to us. Help us to connect truth with the one who gave it, that's you, and love you, God, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord. Help us to cling to the truth. God, help us, Lord, to appreciate the truth and to be thankful for the truth and to live by the truth because we believe the truth. Thank you, God, for tonight. Help us, Lord, in this way to just consider the message tonight and how important the truth of God is in each of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. You're dismissed. We'll look potentially next week at what happens in our life when we don't side with the truth.